this is my Uncle Bob. I think he's going to ramble, so he says.
First of all, I'd just like to go cook at Peter and John Cumley. They sort of organised this for me about 12 months ago, and I'd thought about it, and I said, no, I can't do this sort of thing. Anyway, I thought a bit more about it, and there's a bit of history during the war years as an apprentice, and it was some of the things we had to do to keep machinery going, cars going. Mechanic today got no idea if they will. I've got no idea when I open a bonnet today. I shut it straight away.
You're not the only one, Bob.
But first, I'll give you a little bit of my history. I was born on the 27th of February in 1927 to Doris and Frank Baker, who farmed just out on the, off the Jeffcott Road. I had a brother, Max, 18 months younger than me, sister Pat, 4 years, and my other sister, Elma, 10 years younger. We were brought up all on the farm. I started school in 1932 in September. In those days, you had to be a certain age before you could start. And I was picked up of a morning by Florence Harris, Colonel Harris's daughter, youngest daughter, and that's how I came to school for the first year. Dad built a pony at the end of the year, and I rode the pony to school for 12 months, or no, 18 months or so, and my brother then, we double donked on the pony. After that, when my sister Pat started school, Dad had taken the wheels off the old A model Ford, put them on the gig, lowered, took the wheels off the gig and put the front of the axle off the whole T model Ford on. So that's how we went to school. After school, I used to have to milk the cows, do all the separating, and feed the pigs, the caney potty calves we had. And then I helped the first year after I left school. I helped on the farm for a certain amount of time. I drove the tractor while Dad sat on the harvester, or I drove the tractor while he was sowing. I started apprenticeship in 1942, which midway between the war, with Alec Hunter in Wood Street here. There was, I think there was around about five or six garages at that time. Well, I had to do a training session for so long before I could be apprenticed. I've still got the apprenticeship papers here, and I'll have a look at those after. A few school reports, don't look too hard at them, but a couple of them weren't too good, but most of them were fair. Hated English and hated history. I don't know why I hated history, because I love it now. But this is just one or two of the little things that happened during that time when we couldn't buy parts, you couldn't get a lot of equipment, you couldn't even buy a lot of tools. We sort of had to make do with what we had. We used to borrow from one another around the town any special tools. One garage would have something, one would have something else. The power station, we used to borrow a fair bit from the old power station, tools that they had. They used to be able to get it, we couldn't get. And then just a few of the things that we had to get organised on was a tyre blowout. We'd have slipped that long enough. Couldn't get new tires. What did we do? We used to punch holes in the tire and lace it up with rawhide. They never went back on cars, but for on trailers and on machinery, they use it. Even stuffing the tire full of grass or straw to get them by. Electric welding was very scarce in those. Nobody had, wasn't many electric welders around. Everything was done with oxyacetylene torch and bronze welding, what we used to call it. I remember one piece of machinery was a big axle housing off of McCormick A40. It was, the bearing had gone and smashed, I think, to smithereens. Because of quite a big casting, we couldn't get it hot enough to bronze weld it. So we built a fire out in the back of where the garage was, heated it up, got it up as hot as we could get it, and then welded it. And as far as I know, the old machine would have been still going when it ran out of everything else. Alec also, he was RACV, had the RACV dealership then. Well, a lot of the time we had to go out on the road. He had an old Dodge 4 with no hood or anything over it. We spent a lot of time out on the road with radiators. It was a big problem in those days. You couldn't get them repaired. A mechanic had to be everything in those days. You were a plumber, you were an electrician. The mechanic today, they plug it in and the computer tells them what's wrong. Just little bits of things like that. There was the bearings, the metal bearings in the big ends. There's no such thing as a replacement shells that they got today or anything. We used to have to run white metal into the bearing. We had to make up a mandrel to run it in. Methods have gone out now, and they just replace everything. It's nothing repaired at all. And that's we had to diagnose what was wrong with vehicles. You couldn't just go and put a machine in and tell you what it was. You might spend all day trying to get it. Find out what was wrong with something. And you couldn't charge up anybody for a whole day. In fact, like poor old Alec, he used to forget a lot of things. And a lot of people got work done for nothing. And I was probably one of the ones, because I've never used a notebook in my life. And when I later on, when I was with managing Holden dealerships, I used to know the part number of every part of a Holden off by heart. This is just something I learnt, because I think I learnt that at school. The only subject I was good at was mathematics. And I could often talk to Ray about this, because Ray could run his fingers up and booking at them up and down like that. I could do the same. It's anybody got any questions they'd like to ask me on any of that sort of stuff? It's
can you stop a four-cylinder twin-seat engine with your thin fingers like Alec Huntwood?
Yeah. Stop a V8 by two hands like that. No, Greg Hogan was the only one who could do that.
Is bronze welding the same as what we call brazing today? Is bronze welding the same as what we call brazing?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Although we used to use instead of solder and a lot of things where copper was involved,
What was your experience, Bob, with gas producers in
Waterloo? Keep away from them. They're very, very dirty. That was the only thing we used to have to do was you get a chill them up with charcoal and we'll clean them out. Otherwise, it's just to produce gas instead of thing. I think we only ever fitted one or two here, but occasionally you used to get somebody calling. There wasn't many of them around. But they had a charcoal burner over on Sealy's Island, I think, at that time.
Mind you, if the price of fuel goes up, we might all be back to it.
They used to have, we fitted a lot of the headlight covers over headlights and over taillights. That's for blackout.
Bert Baldwin made his own acetylene. Did you use that?
For what?
Acetylene. They made their own acetylene.
Acetylene?
Yeah, they made their own at Baldwin.
Baldwin's did. We didn't.
You still buy it then?
We had to buy it then. We never had much trouble getting it, but most of the stuff were parts. You couldn't get parts of anything, any of the description used to have to repair.
There's an acetylene maker behind the door at the Nag Museum for gas lights.
Yeah.
All right.
No, we never. That Bolton's did have that.
Get a scrape of bearings to fit. You have to scrape them.
Cylinders and that, a lot of things we had. I can remember one trying to get a head off a V8, Ford V8 one, took us all day to get the head off. It's because they had an aluminium head and iron and just corroded to one another and you just couldn't get them off. Same as track, wasn't many tractor tyres around, they were nearly all steel wheels in those days, but to spend all day getting a tyre off one rim. So it was just.
What did you do after West Hunters?
After Hunter, mm-hmm. I went to Melbourne and to an engineering works. McDonald's Engineering, and used to build some of those motors that Peter's got. I had 3 years with them. I did travel a fair bit with them too. I started tractors up in New South Wales. Two or three over Victoria, and then up into the sawmills with big stationary engines. They were a fairly big manufacturer in the early days. Road rollers, tractors, stationary engines. And milking machines, they used to build milking machines. I was pretty lucky. I used to get all the good jobs. It was country. Anybody from the country got a job easy in Melbourne in those days. Especially if you come off a farm, had no trouble getting work. But it was things were pretty tough in those early days, and during the Depression and the war. Petrol ration was in. We used to have to have tickets for petrol. $1.11 for a gallon of petrol. One shilling 11 pence for a gallon of petrol. That's 4 litres. What is it? $2? $2.20 or something there a litre. But,
So how long were you in Melbourne? When did you leave Melbourne?
Oh, I came back to Donald in 1950.
Okay.
started work with Ron Whitney Motors as his service manager. And I was there for 4 years.
The Holden Brass.
Yeah, I was service manager there for 4 years, and then I went to we sold. This is one thing I was crook on myself over. When I went there, he promised me first offer on the bill, on the place, and he sold it out over me. So I left him, and I went to Minion, and had 16 years there as service manager for Mackenzie Motors, another Holden dealer. And it was sold out on me too. And then I come back and got a job with the Shire as the pool manager. And I did that for 4 years. They offered me this superintendent's job for the Shire, which was a great job. I learned a very great experience really, building all sorts of things. But proud of all the work I did with the Shire.
What are some of the things we built,
the aerodrome, that was one of the things, the bridges out here on the river out at the Guffey's, the senior citizens club rooms, the sports stadium, all the bricks around the town. And a water fountain that they took out.
You
were going
to put soap in the
foot. I hope that some of those little things that I brought up, somebody will remember them, and they'll be kept for. Because it was very difficult time during the war and the Depression. Very difficult. In fact, I don't know how a lot of places existed after. So many farms had the, in fact, that grandfather had to give one farm away. Just had it nearly paid for and couldn't pay any more, couldn't borrow any money, had to give it away. Dennis has got it today, no worries, but he might have as much debt. Yeah. But anyway, thanks for having to listen to me, and I can come back and give you a bit more sometime of all my experiences all over Australia. There's nothing much I haven't seen. Been very lucky. And there's a few photos and a few things there that you can have a look at. Thank you.